happy belated Easter, everybody.
Yes, happy Easter, everybody.
It was nice to have the week off.
It was great.
It was really nice to have the week off, but at the same time, it really sent me into the dump. I don't know why.
Sunday was like, okay, go and eat, and then go to sleep.
Right.
And that's all that happened.
You did that too?
Pretty much, yeah.
I thought I was the only one that did that.
No.
I think we all were in the same zone that week, or last weekend. It was quite an eventful night for myself and Will.
Yes,
it, what we thought was going to be an easy Easter Sunday. You know, we don't need to do the show. We get to chill, have some food, kick back. We'll stop by my parents' house. My sister cooked, and we thought it was gonna be an easy night. You know, no big deal. Apparently, it wasn't going to be though. It never is. My roommate decided to get picked up.
I read that.
What'd you read it?
On the
Drunken
Dialing. Yeah.
www.drunkendialing.com. Go there.
Shameless plug.
I have one of those to add too.
Oh, do you?
I got one this weekend.
Well, we can capture it after the show. Cool. But if you go to drunkendialing.com, you can read the whole story. But you get a little condensed version of what happened to me. Now, FJ got arrested over something that was like, it was a misunderstanding. It was all taken care of in the end, so let's just leave it. Let's let it die there, because it wasn't anything. He didn't do anything bad. He's not a serial killer or anything like that. But my group of friends that I play in my band with, and the guys that run with our band, they enjoy poking at me. They think it's fun. They think it's cute to poke at me, because they know my anal retentiveness, and they know how uptight I can be about a lot of things, especially my home.
Do you think they think you might be quick to temper or something?
No, I'm not quick to temper.
To be upset?
Well, yeah, I get upset.
Although I can see why this story you'd be upset. Yeah.
Between
you got owned.
Well, between unplanned parties, karma.
Hey, I don't know where I'm getting. I did not plan that. All I said was that
crack
whores. Going back to you.
Crack whores.
Don't be looking at
me. I'm not looking at you. I'm just saying. And now this new thing that happened.
He's not evicted, is he?
No. I love him. He's my bro.
Okay.
Like I said, my group of buddies likes to poke fun at me. The guys I consider my best friends, that are always there for me, brothers to the end, all that fun stuff, right? It's always ironic how they can be so cruel at times. So, we get the call. Timmy got arrested. Okay, whatever. Not my problem. Let him figure it out. You guys got bail? Okay, cool. Whatever. They figured out it was a misunderstanding. Great. I didn't know that yet, though, right? So I'm on the couch. Will's finally over. We're enjoying a film.
Yes.
We're enjoying a film, watching
it's
TV.
It's not porn.
No, it's not porn.
No, not porn. No.
My whole family is there. No way. Just kicking back, relaxing, talking, laughing, having fun. Phone rings again. Pick it up. It is our guitar player from MFPS, Alex. Hey, Scott, I got some bad news for you. I'm like, what? He's like, well, I don't know what happened, man, but they searched Timmy's car and they found like a pound of coke in there, dude. I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? He's like, yeah. Well, seeing that, and you know, we're at the police station right now, and they said, you know, he lives at your address. They're gonna have to toss your whole house. I'm like, so okay. Will, you chime in. I don't really remember. I don't really remember anything after that. To tell you,
I wish I had
something?
A camera.
They don't weigh coke in pounds.
Thank you.
Not that it matters. It's ounces.
Okay. Okay. So they found 16 ounces of coke in Timmy's car.
That's I think that's life.
Yeah, that would be.
I think that's sodomy, isn't it? Nowadays, so I don't remember anything after that. Will, you finish it?
Scott flew off the couch. Literally flew. He jumped over his aunt and everything. It was
I uncased my wings.
Oh wow.
He gets to like the dining room table where his keys were sitting. He snatched up his keys as he's like screaming in the phone. What? The drone? What? It was crazy.
Then, oh my god!
Not that you had anything to worry about finding anything, because you don't do those kinds of things.
Of course
they
not.
Do demolish your house.
Yeah, I don't. You know, why,
they will
yeah,
find the
exactly.
dirtiest panties you own.
Exactly, and I got a lot of dirty panties.
Yeah, those dirty panties.
I don't know where they came from, but I got a lot of dirty panties.
You will
in my
find
drawer.
Stuff that you thought you
next to my teddy bear.
Oh no, not the teddy bear.
He's going to take the teddy bear.
He's getting ready to go for his shoes, and they finally let him in. It was, you know, It was a really bad joke.
So, a practical joke.
Yeah, it was a practical joke. Yeah. Regardless, I don't want to repeat what I said after that. Because it was pretty...
I can imagine we'd get bleeped.
It was pretty filthy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was pretty upset, too. You know what I mean?
I prank called you one time, and I'll never do that again.
I wasn't very happy about that one, either.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Everybody got phone calls after that.
I couldn't say sorry enough. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, I had some chick named... What was your name that night?
I don't remember.
I don't remember, but you're like, hey, so you want to hang out or what, baby? And I'm like, what? So come on, don't you remember me? No. Oh, what's up? Come on, let's hang out. I thought you wanted to hang out the other night, huh? I'm like, who are you? You need to go away. No.
Yeah,
I think it was funny the first time, but then like the other two times you called, that's when I'm going to find this. And I called Nextel. I actually called Nextel. I actually got when you called back, I actually called Nextel and said, okay, I'm getting this weird number. I want it locked out of my phone. Okay, sir, no problem at all. And then you call, oh, sorry, I was just kidding around. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
And then I call back saying, this was Larry.
Larry.
Larry, yeah, that's my brother's name.
Turns out it's your brother's name, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fun. But, yeah, that was pretty fun Easter. I had to take a couple Valiums after that just to calm down because I was fairly upset. So, Alex, if you are listening, I'll say it again. Your ass will be very sore one of these days when you wake up. Say that.
You guys. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And, of course, Will's in the house munching on pizza.
Hi.
Hi. And we are broadcast live every Sunday night from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer Radio. Our website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com. Very, very interesting journal entry articles. We'll be talking about them on the show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We're broadcast from the Haunted Basement Studios in beautiful...
Sunny
and warm Fraser, Michigan.
Today,
anyway. Or at least for this hour or so.
Yeah.
We've got the windows open. The kids are screaming in the background. I think the ice cream truck lady has already been through. I don't know. We'll find out.
I didn't hear the song.
Well, I think it was earlier, like about an hour ago or so.
You know, it's a hot day when I put on deodorant.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't wear deodorant.
Woo, thank you for putting some on.
You don't wear deodorant?
It's evidently 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
You guys wear deodorant?
I do.
I thought that was an option.
All the time. An option?
I have to, because I've had days where I didn't wear deodorant. Oh,
I'm joking. I do wear deodorant.
I know. But, so anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about ghost hunting, because Will and I went out and about ghost hunting last night. Very, very depressing ghost hunting story for you. We're going to be talking...
If you have something else to do, you might want to do it now.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about journal entries, because I know Scott has put up a couple of very, very, very intriguing journal entry, so we're going to be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about my journal entry, because since we've started off with Easter frivolity, right? Easter time frivolity?
Mm-hmm.
I had a very interesting day before Easter. So, and I wrote a journal entry about it, so we're going to talk about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read it, Scott?
Yes, I did.
Did you read it, Karma?
About the religion?
About religion.
Bible study?
Will? Oh, yes, Bible study. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that and see what you guys have to say about it, because I know I'm only coming from one viewpoint.
I like how at the end you're like, I respect my religion, kind of like basically saying, please don't email me or respond to the
yes.
I don't care.
I already have a belief system.
Right, yes.
Well, see, the problem is one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that when you talk about religion, right, everybody wants to talk about religion, and they hardly ever want to talk about your religion. They tend to want to talk about their religion, which is not so bad. I don't blame them. It's okay if you're drunk. I don't drink. So I haven't had a sip of alcohol in years.
Stop right there.
What?
Two summers ago.
Oh, okay. So 2 years.
We were there. We were there.
Yeah.
That would qualify for years.
That's years, isn't it?
Okay, go ahead.
We were, yeah, and I only had that one, and then I switched right back to Diet Pepsi.
You got kind of silly there for a minute, though. As soon as he hit that shot of tequila, remember, Will? He got him on the table and took his shirt off?
But it only lasted for a minute. You know, I came to
Yeah, then he came back.
I had to tackle him before he took off his pants.
Fortunately, when I was in that stupor, I couldn't undo my belt, so...
Yeah.
But anyway, the what was that thing anyway? I've actually told people that yes, I have had alcohol in the past 10 years. And I can't remember what it was called. Wasn't it like this thing? And it had some alcohol in it, and then you dropped a shot in it.
And oh, you're flaming Dr. Pepper?
No, this was...
The technique of doing that shot is called a lunchbox.
No. What about... you're talking about Irish Car Bomb.
No, what was it that we drank at the karaoke bar?
Was it like... Did they have Red Bull in it?
I don't know.
Was it Jager and Bull?
It was Beth's favorite at the... That was it. There you go. That's what we had. I think that was it. I'm pretty sure.
A Jager bomb?
Anyway, so that was the only drop of alcohol I've had. But even then, I wasn't ready to receive email about people's religions. Okay? So.
You brought that back around. That
yes.
Really
I really. Thank you. I really, you know, so that's why I closed that journal entry article with, you know, thanks, I've got my own system of beliefs that, you know, I'm working with right now. And so I don't need to hear about your religion. Because I find that people really like to talk about that. And I don't blame them. And it's really interesting and everything, you know, when you're in the right mood.
You could be talking about sports, and somehow religion always comes up.
Something.
Isn't it
comes
fascinating,
up.
Though?
Yeah, it really works into everybody's lives. It does.
That's people who are obsessed, if you ask me.
No.
I mean, sports and religion are like...
I'm saying that.
I'm just saying. No, I'm not knocking. I'm just saying those are people that are obsessed, man.
No, I'm just saying that, like, how you'll start talking about one thing and it goes to another, and it seems like all conversations
it always ends up back
usually
at the,
end in that, and that's crazy. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's kind of neat.
Right, the way it works into your lives, which is not bad, not bad at all. But boy, did I have to let off some steam in my journal entry. I mean, I was really taken aback. So we'll be talking about journal entries. Our phone line will be open, so if you Woo-hoo! Want to join in the discussion, you can, although it's really hard to, with the sun shining on the little light, it's going to be hard to see. So if it rings, just ring and ring and ring until we notice it, and we'll talk
to
you.
We will pick it up, we promise.
Yes, it is 1-888-520-1969, mm-hmm. from U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
What were the other announcements? Oh, yes. If you're not in the chat room, get in the chat room. It is at www.ghostlytalk.com. There's a live IRC chat if you're a member of the Ghostly Talk website. If you're not, go to pioneer.rolo.net, R-O-L-O.net, and there's a text chat link in that little gizmo, and you can join the chat. Everybody's in chat right now. Well, actually, it's not that busy of a day. It's in the chat room.
Oh, the weather's nice.
East Coast Ghost Hunter Society.
Here in Michigan.
Horizon, Arved. Ooh, that's a blast from the past. I haven't been in the chat rooms too much, and I need to start hanging in there. Of course, Phobos is there, Snow Queen, Gina, and LFM, and Will's in there right now. I'm not officially logged in, but I cheated and looked on Will's screen. So there's lots of cool folks in the chat room. Join them. Chat with everybody. That's it for me. So what do you want to talk about first? Because we've got the journal entries.
Well, let's get to those in a minute. I am very curious. Now, I know Will saw it, and I saw it. I don't think you guys have seen it yet. And that's then the new film, The Passion of the Christ. Now, seeing that we're on religion.
Okay.
It seems fitting to talk about this.
Well, the week after...
Yeah.
The week after
have you seen this yet, Karma? Did you see
scathing it? Journal entry.
You haven't seen it yet? You didn't see it yet.
I've not seen it yet, no. I've heard it makes a lot of hoopla, and not only did it open up and stay number one for a couple of weekends in a row and make just a ton of money, but it also then shot back up to number one over the Easter weekend.
Nah, that's all marketing right there. They planned it like that.
Okay.
Everybody I talked to at work and I asked what they were doing, they said over the Easter.
How come I can't hear you?
Probably because my mic levels are... Because I got here late. Everybody that I had talked to at work, I said, what are you guys doing this weekend? Blah, blah. Everybody said, I'm going to see The Passion of the Christ.
It was out and about.
I wanted to see it, but I couldn't get off my couch.
I had
opportunity to
see it
with you guys.
I had a tough time. Yeah, I had a tough time.
It's a hard film to watch.
Yeah? Tell me about it without spoilers.
Well, I don't want to wreck it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I'll just say it's a hard film to watch.
Is it really
I don't care if you don't believe in what happened in this film or not. If you don't believe anything that happened, this, you know, according to the Bible, whatever version you're talking about, if you have to be completely non-sensitive at all to not feel this film. Because this film, let's just put it this way, and this won't ruin it either. Basically, 75 to 80% of the movie is some guy getting the living hell beat out of him. Non-stop.
Do they do the cool thing where they keep like cutting away to it and coming back? Do they still like visions of it or like?
Well, yeah, it's like a regular film. I mean, yeah, it's pretty much corporate film. I mean, it's done professionally. It's done really good. They did an excellent job. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, the cutaways, the flashbacks.
Like is it done like a Pulp Fiction kind of manner where it jumps?
No,
okay.
No, it's done very.
I hate movies like
the
that.
The plot's pretty straight ahead. I mean, if you've read the Bible, you'll recognize all the little things that happen, all the little funny things that happen in the Bible, which is kind of cool to see it, like, you know, in front of you like that, really, you know, state of the art, like right in front of you right now. But as far as I was concerned, it was very, the first time around.
Did you cry?
Almost.
You almost cried?
Very, very close.
Because Bonnie told me it was at least a 10-tissue movie.
It was so difficult to watch. There was actually one scene that I'm not even going to give it out, but I want to see, actually, there's one scene in the film that just about, hey, I know our singer James from MFPS, he's like, that scene floored me. Because he went with his father on Easter Sunday to see it. And he's like, that scene, we talked about it at band practice, and he's like, man, I was on the floor. I couldn't take it.
Oh,
it
my
so
God.
So hard to watch. You know?
You know, I could probably cry at watching, like, Freaky Friday or something. And but a comedy. But if I watched something that powerful, oh, man. I would probably be on the floor.
I don't really know. I guess you can say it's powerful. It's very powerful. But my thing is that, you know, even if you don't believe in the word or the story of how Jesus was crucified for all of our sins, we could all go to heaven and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. You still have to watch this film from a layman's point and go, my God, how can they do this to this man? No matter how bad, I mean, there's certain things I believe that, you know, punishment isn't good enough for you, but for what they accuse this man of, I mean, it was just so difficult to watch this person go through this. I mean, I'm thinking to myself scientifically going, there's no man on this planet that could withstand that kind of trauma and abuse and then carry a 500-pound wooden cross a mile and a half up a hill. I mean, it's like, it was, the impossible was done. And I mean, that's right along with the Bible. I mean, I will say one thing. I mean, as far as the storyline went, they didn't really Hollywoodize anything too much. I mean, they kept it pretty much to the book as far as the King James Version goes, from what I know. They kind of kept it along the storyline. They didn't try to, like, you know, they didn't have any, like, gigantic explosions in the background.
Airplanes swinging by.
Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't come swinging out on a rope.
If it fit the timing, they probably would have. I don't think they had explosives back then.
Yeah, well, they just couldn't find a way to work it in.
Right.
But,
Pyrotechnics wanted $100 million, so yeah. They said no pyrotechnics.
No explosions. But, yeah. I mean, the storyline, it pretty much follows right along from what I've read growing up in the church and stuff like that. But as far as the film itself, it's difficult to watch if you haven't seen it yet.
Well, okay.
I think everybody should see it, though.
I think human cruelty has a long and a long history. Because, I mean, you know, the Romans at the Colosseum, you know, feed the Christians to the lions, et cetera, et cetera. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I do know that, you know, I'm sure that they would do that. There's people in tribes in Africa that used to be so incredibly reclusive that they would kill anybody who came within their territory.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them even ate them. You know, I mean, and they weren't...
Hell of a safari there.
Yeah, oops.
Was that with dipping sauce?
They're like, I think they actually make this wonderful little sauce out of an herb root that they get out of the ground in the local.
They just dip it, you know.
Yeah, just a little hint. Like a hint of rosemary, you know, only this is a hint of herb root.
It's
native to that. But they it's just that they, you know, I mean,
well,
there has
happen
been
all over
cruelty.
The world. That's the funniest part is people, every day I see filthy, disgusting things because I'm on the internet every day.
And then there's, I mean, look at even in modern times, there's, you know, Gacy and, who's that?
Dahmer.
Mm-hmm. And there's all that kind of stuff going on. There's also the lady, oh my gosh, one of the most famous hauntings in Louisiana, in New Orleans, is the lady who had, you know, the slaves in the attic. Oh my gosh, how come it's slipping my mind?
It's slipping my mind too, don't worry.
I'm not going to remember it now. Now that I want to, I'm not going to remember it.
Remember
it
for the show.
But it's the most... Yeah, I know. It's the most famous... It's one of the most famous hauntings in New Orleans, Louisiana, is the lady who did those incredible torturous activities to her slaves. And she was a very, you know, upright, civilian or whatever, a leader of the community, blah, blah, blah.
But she had a feeding fetish.
Yeah, in her secret life, yeah, she would take her folks up to the attic and torture them, like, incredibly. So torture and cruelty has a long history, I think, in civilization.
Well, the funniest part concerning the film, though, that I mean, of course, we're kind of falling right into it, too, but, I mean, I wanted to discuss it just for a couple minutes on the show.
But these people thought they were right.
Well, yeah, they thought they were right.
I mean, I don't know if Gacy and Dahmer and this lady in New Orleans, if they thought they were right in doing so, although I'm sure voices in their head could have told them that they were. But they, you know, they didn't really fit into society. This was society doing it to these people, right? Doing it to Jesus and the bunch, you know. This was society doing it to them.
It's funny, though, to see, if you look around right now, though, too, after this film came out, and it was something I thought about when I heard, okay, they're releasing a film about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they've done other films already. This isn't anything new. This isn't anything groundbreaking. But it's the most accessible right now. It's so funny, because, I mean, there was a few people that I did watch this film with that were like, oh, my God. They didn't do that. I'm like, man, I thought you go to church every Sunday. What are you talking about?
It's because it's not in detail.
Well, it actually is in detail in the Bible. If you do read the Bible, everything that, I mean, that's the one thing I appreciate about the film is they didn't go above and beyond. They didn't try to over exaggerate anything. They were pretty much accurate.
But reading something and seeing something is totally
It affects you incredibly differently.
I think if you read something, I mean, I've always known through reading, it tends to be a lot more scary or a lot more graphic in my mind than actually seeing it going, oh, well, there it is.
Well, that depends on the person putting together the visual image.
If you're a sadistic, you know, degenerate like I am, you know, you're going to think about absolutely horrendous scenarios, but some people be like, well, you know, whatever.
Well, when I read, I read extremely slowly, and I have to picture everything in my head. So I really do create a little mini movie going on in my head of everything that I read. And, you know, but it's only what I can create and fill in. It's not, you know, somebody else's interpretation of the same passage.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, I heard with Mel Gibson's, you know, the Christ, that it's just incredibly graphic. And
it is. And I mean, there's some
really
people just can't handle it. But it just the thing that makes me laugh, though, is that some people are like, this is the first time they've ever even heard of this, though. That this is what happened to Jesus Christ.
You're
according to the Bible.
Me.
I can't believe they did that to him. I'm not saying the actual act itself. People know high level that he was crucified.
High level.
But he was
crucified.
Beaten before that. He was.
Oh yeah, I mean he was a prisoner.
Bloody pulp.
He was a prisoner.
That.
Yeah, but
beating was just as bad as a crucifixion.
So but if you look around, you look at the icons, the religious icons of the modern times and even of ancient times. You've got the cross with the, you know, and it's all prettied up and it's done in beautiful, you know, metals and and ornate you know, ivories and metals and just very ornate.
That's just an exploitation of the symbol, if you
of
ask
the
me.
Image.
Yeah.
Yeah, of what it of
because
what it got
yeah,
that's set the cell units.
But if you even but if you've got a you know, a cross or a crucifix on your wall, you know, for religious purposes or even decorative purposes, you've got this and it's basically a beautified image.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see the sweat and the blood and the tears.
I have seen a crucifix that had him on it with a thorn. Well, you've seen that before. And, like, you could see, like, it was detailed of blood running down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, it drops of silver.
Is that typical or is that...
I don't know if it is or not, but I know that they are.
I have a crucifix in the house. I don't have one.
I have, and you can see like the anguish on his face.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother had it. I'm sure one of my relatives have it. So
wow,
I'll have to show you it.
But what about current ones?
Like
the ones
it.
That people wear around their neck?
No, this is a wall
those
one.
Prettier? Don't have all the details.
I like those.
No.
Yeah.
I like those big bling bling ones that are about 3 feet long. And neck. Those are the ones that crack
diamond
me up.
Studs
yeah.
on the side.
And the person
yeah.
wearing it had probably crucified about 50 people themselves.
Yeah. And they hold that object so dear to themselves.
Right.
But I just found it funny that there were some people that, I mean, just a few people that I watched a film with were like, I can't believe they did that. I'm like, I thought you read it already. What are you talking about? You know, the thing I find...
But they just put it in front of my face,
well, yeah,
and I couldn't ignore it now.
That's the point, though.
Yeah.
That, you know, people are... Now people are thinking about, Jesus now a lot. There's a lot of things because they've seen the film, and that's what I mean. Unfortunately, that's what it takes sometimes for people to really like kind of turn towards
to see a Hollywood
spirituality,
film.
You know, to go okay, you know, okay, maybe I should start looking into this a little bit more. That's what I got out of it. I mean, I think everybody should see it personally. It's one of the only films that I'll endorse because I hate movies. I'm like the movie Nazi. I can't stand movies. Anything new, I'll not watch it. But this film was actually done
hate some of the movies that I've seen lately. I went on a movie renting spree. Okay, I rented not Ghost Ship. What's it called? Ghost Stage. Ghost Stage. It's about a stagecoach that pulls into this. Well, they call it a station, but it's just this little house and bar kind of thing. Anyway, it pulls into there, but it doesn't have any passengers. So they had to find out what happened. And there's like this Indian, it's Indian territory, and it's way back in, you know, stagecoach days. And it looks like it was filmed on a handycam, you know, a Sony handycam. There's at least one famous actor who even I recognize, and I don't watch enough movies to know a lot of actors, but there was one famous one. And then there was some really good acting going on. But the story was just so bad. It was just, like, incredibly bad. You would hate it. And then something about, oh my gosh, it's absolutely pathetic. I can't even remember the title of it. It's that bad. It's a movie with a ship, and it goes, you know, out to sea or whatever, or it's coming back from this voyage or whatever, and they run across a ghost ship, right? A ghost freighter. It's okay. A freighter. And they have to go on it. It turns out these antiques from South America are haunted and cursed. So the freighter is adrift because it was, you know, the crew all killed each other and stuff because one of them turned into an ancient Brazilian demon of some kind, or ancient Mayan demon.
Stop. This sucks already.
Oh, well, no. Here's the clincher. I've seen better acting in pornos. Yes, I have seen pornos. And I've seen better acting in pornos.
Which ones?
This was actually what this movie reminded me of. Was a porno, like a whole bunch of porno actors and actresses got together and tried to make a serious movie. Because there was, like, boobalage for days.
Hot,
okay.
Hot.
That wasn't so bad, but the thing
boobalage.
Is...
Boobalage.
No, really, I mean, that's what it was. It was all about...
You learned that from Brick Hard Rod, man.
Yes, hey, I read the boards. But yeah, and that's what it was. It was about boobs and this Mayan demon. It was...
So there's basically
really
a girl standing there with these big big boobs.
Well, no, actually...
What's going on?
It
oh
was
my
actually
god!
The
I'm so scared.
That ghost is touching my boobies.
The one with the big boobs only showed, you know, flashed those a couple times. Mm. But the one with the actual medium size or normal size boobs, she was the one who was naked most of the time.
Okay,
because she was the priestess or whatever in her dream.
Doug walks into the movie rental place and says, "Give me what you got on ghosts,
ghosts and boobs.
Yeah.
I want to see ghosts and boobs." Come on, bring them to me.
Absolutely.
Some women have ghostly boobs.
Yeah.
All right, so synopsis, Doug.
Two bad movies. Although Ghost Stage, I think, is an entertaining, like, moment in time. If you have a
thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down, though.
On both of them?
Both of them.
Absolutely wonderful. Let's take a break.
Okay.
We're gonna get off this Jesus stuff and all this depressing.
No, because I want to talk about the Bible.
You want to talk about
the Bible? I want to talk about Genesis Book 1.
Oh, jeez.
I
want
to talk about an email I got.
And we'll talk about your email, and we'll talk about ghost hunting.
Okay.
But let's do a break first.
Ghostly talk, sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. guys trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.com.
Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.com.
Oh!
In the house.
Oh!
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
Oh!
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night.
Here we are. This is... How come I don't have... Oh, I do have volume. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
Hi, I'm Scott L.
Hi, Scott L.
And I am Karma.
Hi, Karma. I found out the name of that movie that was so bad.
Yeah.
So if you are at the movie store and you see Haunted Sea...
Run as fast as you can.
Get away from it. Yeah. It's basically a porno, a legal porno. Well, they're all legal, but I mean, you know, it's they tried to get, they tried to get, you know, they got together and they tried to do this like serious movie. James Brolin is in it.
Who?
I can't believe it. James Brolin. He was the proprietor.
James Brolin?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I can't believe it either. He was on. There was a
I saw him in that movie with that other guy. About that thing.
Yes, that one.
Yeah,
that one, man. No, he was in Hotel, which was a series on TV just before cop...
I vaguely remember that.
Just before all the cop series
became
very
popular.
Oh, I
know. It came on after Dallas.
Mm-hmm. And James Brolin was—he was the manager of the hotel. It was about that time. It was in that time frame, though.
Oh,
welcome
okay.
to Bad 80s Sitcom with your host Doug. And
it wasn't a sitcom. It was a serious movie. It was a drama.
I remember watching Dallas with my grandmother. I was like probably like 5 or 6.
Oh, but I did watch all of the 6 Feet Unders the first season. That was depressing.
Great. That's great.
It was good.
Have you guys seen Kingdom Hospital?
No.
I don't watch TV, no!
You guys, that is a good movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a Stephen King, yes.
What, is this on TV?
Yes, it's on...
Sounds spooky.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
But anyways, it's about a hospital that is built on a factory. Like, a factory used to be on this land, and it burnt down, and they had, like, a lot of child labor going on there. And it burnt down, and a lot of people died there. And they built this hospital on it. It's a haunted hospital.
Oh,
so
wow.
People that are in comas and stuff are being messed with by spirits.
Oh,
there's two kinds of spirits. There's a regular spirit, and there's a vampire spirit. And they're like battling in the other side world.
Oh, how wild!
It is. It's a wild. It's only been on the air. I would say probably maybe 4 weeks now. And it's good.
On TV?
On TV,
what
yes.
channel?
It's on, I gotta think here. Because I'm not really... I'm
here,
not,
here I
know
I
my mom...
I want to hear that.
WSYZ.com.
I know my mom watches it, so when I get up, I get to peep in on it for a little bit. But I believe it is on Channel 7.
Any sex?
Okay.
Any sex in this thing?
Channel 7. Not that I've seen. It comes on at, I believe, 9 o'clock, and it's over at 10. So
A.M.?
P.M.
Oh, okay.
P.M.
It's just before Springer.
I was going to say A.M. I can't
but
do it.
But it is a really, really good series.
You maybe watched Springer the other night. Oh, my God. I about threw up.
That's
I accidentally watched one about
like,
3 months ago.
I'm like, now I know why I don't
so
watch
bad.
This stuff. I'm sitting here watching these two friggin' morons fight over this fat chick. Like, I mean... Can we move on to the paranormal stuff?
I was talking about paranormal.
You're going to make me preach.
You started talking about Springer.
You're
yeah,
right.
That's
you're
true.
Right. I'll shut up.
Yeah,
right.
You mentioned TV,
okay,
you get right out of Springer.
Right.
What I want... First, let's talk about my stuff, because I think my stuff's going to be quicker than Scott L's, because your stuff is very, very detailed. So I want to talk about what I want to talk about first. Genesis.
On the first day.
Chapter 1. Yeah, no, it was more like in the beginning.
Adam got busy with Eve. No.
So we go.
Adam got busy with Eve. Oh, God, don't get the Ebonics version.
Yeah. I just have an idea.
I'm finished. We're going to make $1 million, man.
Well, that goes in line with, like, everybody put out a Bible version, you know?
Don't say it anymore.
So here's what happens. I go to my brother. My brother's, he's going to get confirmed or whatever and baptized, right? Because he needs to do that to get all, like, you know, married and stuff. So he goes and he's having this big thing. They're going to have this ceremony thing at the church.
It's got to be Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
It's so
high
Catholic.
Catholic.
It's so
yeah.
Catholic.
It's extremely Catholic. And so we go to the ceremony. And we knew ahead of time it was going to be 3 hours. And we're like, oh. Okay, 3 hours for that, plus, what, an hour for the wedding. It's going to be my church for, like, the next decade. But, so we go to this thing, and I'm very proud of him. I am extremely proud of him.
He's
the man.
He
put a lot of time and energy.
He really wants to marry
this
girl.
Have you ever seen this girl?
Have you ever seen this girl?
Woohoo!
No.
Man. Woo!
She's
beautiful.
She's a looker.
My. She's beautiful. She
picked him up in a bar.
Yeah.
Not even kidding. She picked my brother up in a bar.
And you've seen Pete.
Hey,
you
gotta go to the bar.
I can't believe it.
He's awesome. He's like Doug, but a little bit smaller.
I guess I gotta go and get out more. But anyway.
I've seen him. He's a decent looking guy.
And he's very,
he's a very good looking guy.
And he's very stable and very,
Keep going, Doug. And he's turn the mic off again.
He's very stable and very, you know.
A mentally stable guy is great.
You're not talking
about mentally stable.
Well, he's that too, and financially and everything.
Until he gets married.
He's a teacher. He's a professor at Michigan State University.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, you can't call him a professor.
Oh.
You have to call him some kind of teacher and something. I don't know. But he does the same job.
A learning engineer.
It's just that he doesn't publish. He doesn't do experiments and publish them. So he can't be a professor. But anyway, so he's got a decent job, and he's a great guy, and I love him to death because he's my brother, and he just really turned out really, really good, you know. So the shining example of the family and was the youngest kid. But anyway, he's getting married.
Why are you making a fist right now?
He's getting married, and so he had to do this religion stuff. So he joins the Catholic Church, and he does all this stuff.
Yeah.
And 3 hours the night before Easter, the candlelight vigil. I know. We had to go there. We had to do this. We had to dress up and everything. And so we go there, and they started it out with... It started out okay, but then they started the readings. And the readings were, it started out with, "In the beginning." And I thought, okay.
We're going to read the whole Bible.
I'm like, okay, that's why it's going to be a 3-hour service. And I already read this part, so I'm just going to take a little nap because it's all dark. Candlelight, you know. And so blew out my candle, and I'm just laying there sleeping.
You blew out your candle?
No, I left it on. But
did you actually walk out of the church to call me?
Yeah, I left. I left during the end of the service and called you. I still had an hour to go. So I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom, you guys. So I left, and I went outside, and I called you and stuff. And
wait,
yeah.
candlelight and hot wax?
Yeah. It was very romantic if there weren't so many people there.
I would have blew that candle out.
Somebody
took
your shirt off.
But, woo!
Jumping on my head.
Uh-huh.
So they're having this candlelight vigil thingy, and it's going on and on. Starts out within the beginning, and she starts reading the creation story, right? Genesis book 1. And it's like, you know, okay, yeah, all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't remember that part, but, you know, it's been a long time since I studied it in college. And going on and on. And then God created the sea monsters. And then I knew, I'm like, okay, something's up with this. Because I don't remember God creating sea monsters, okay? And then what were those other things that I didn't remember? Well, I didn't remember these domes, that the dome was, you know, separated the sky from the earth. Oh, guess what? She hadn't come by earlier.
We gotta put a mic out there.
We'll go out there.
Little summertime sound effect.
Down here. Summer is officially here.
I wonder if the mics picked that up.
I hope so. I'm sure it picked up the screaming brats outside.
Homo on the range. Anyway, so we're talking about these sea monsters. I'm like, sea monsters. I would have remembered sea monsters because, you know, cryptozoology and everything.
Yeah.
But he created these sea monsters. I'm like, what was the other thing? Oh, the dome. The dome, you know, that separated the, you know, our world from the heavens, is the sky is called a dome. And then she said something about how the dry land appeared because they drained the water into the basins or something. And I'm like, okay, I don't remember these things, right? Mm-hmm. But then again, there was another thing that I didn't remember, and that was the creepy things or something, the crawly, creepy things, things that creeped on the earth. He created those, too. And
well,
I didn't remember that either. So I didn't remember that either. So there were,
and on the seventh day, God created will.
So there were
good.
So there were four things that I did not remember. I didn't remember the sea monsters, which is what really tipped me off that, hey, this is some different version of the creation.
So God created Nessie.
Yeah, he created the Loch Ness Monster. He created the dome, which separates, you know, the sky, is the sky. And then he created Oh, he drained the water into these basins in order to make dry
our
land.
Lakes, right? Mm-hmm.
And lakes and ocean beds and sea beds. And then also the creepy crawly things that creepeth upon the earth. And I'm like, ooh, okay, this is different than I remember. So 2 days later, because I wasn't that concerned about it that I rushed home and looked on the internet, but I thought, eventually I'm going to have to look on the internet and find out what's up with this. So I went.
And find the truth.
Yeah, I went to the internet. I'm looking for the truth because the internet, you know, does not lie.
Not referring to the Bible that you might have laying around the house.
Actually, I
go to the internet.
I do have a Bible, but I have no clue where it is.
Yeah, it's holding this table up.
But what happens?
Mike's going off again.
But what happens is I found several websites with like these various versions of the Bible. So the Bible, it's not good enough to have just, you know, a Bible. You can't just have a Bible. You've got to have versions.
You gotta have the B-sides, man.
Yeah. Well, they've got various ones, believe me. And this, it turns out, I must have learned the King James version of the Bible.
That's what I learned.
Because in there, he created great whales. Now, had she said great whales, I would have never in a million years went online and looked up, you know, Genesis and different versions of the Bible, because I'd have been like, okay, well, creepy things, I just didn't remember it.
Yeah.
A dome, I wouldn't even really care. The dome being the sky. Mm-hmm. And then these basins, how dry land appeared, I just don't really even, you know, care. It doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't affect my life one way or the other.
Right.
It's there now. I'm pretty much familiar with that. So, but it turns out that in the different versions, there really are different, you know, words used, and some of it is translation. Some of it is translation. I have to admit that. Sea monsters, great whales. Okay, there you go. It's okay. It's translatable.
Well, I can see that. I mean, a great whale, if you've ever seen one up close.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like pretty much like sea monster. Yeah.
When I think of a sea monster, I think of something with like 50 heads.
I think something like that.
Like
something
Christopher
monster.
Columbus was talking about.
Yeah, the things on, you know, the corners of the maps, the old maps. You would see those very intricate sea monsters in the corners of maps and stuff. So, that's very biblical if you're not following the King James Version. But then I find out that it's more, in some instances, it's more than just translation issues. Dome and sky are pretty much translation issues, okay? Mm. The sea monster whale is pretty much a translation issue. But, and the creepy crawly thing, by the way, is something that I just really did not remember. I really didn't remember.
So another translation issue there, too.
Well, that's a memory issue on my part. But then, the third thing, this is what really upsets me, and it upsets me to no end, is that...
There goes the fest.
Yeah, here's the thing. This really upsets me to no end, is that in the New American Bible, right, the New American Bible.
It's like red, white, and blue.
They decided, yeah.
Talk about oil in Iraq.
You are good. You are really on today,
on the
Carl.
First day Bush created the sky. It was good.
But the New American Bible, these are bishops, Catholic bishops, mm-hmm. okay, people to be respected, people who worked hard all their lives and devoted themselves to the service of God and to the service of the church and to mm-hmm. the service of their underling people and stuff and their fleeks, flocks, their flocks.
What is a fleek?
A fleek, that's a plural of flock.
What is a fleek?
Plural of flock, I hope.
It's two words combined.
Flock. Yeah, two words combined.
It's a FN geek.
Okay.
Very good.
So, but no, to their flocks, right? They devoted their lives, and these are very serious people. These Catholic bishops, you don't just, you know, you're not a party animal and a Catholic bishop. It just doesn't work that way. There may
lately.
Be a few, but yeah, well, lately. But
turn your mic off now.
But what happens is, these are serious people, and they actually introduced a brand new concept into not only the story of Genesis, the story, you know, at least book one, because it's the only one I read, or chapter one, or whatever it is, chapter one of Genesis. They introduced a completely new concept, not only into the story, but also into the actual quoted words of God. And I take great exception to that. Because if you are trying to follow the Word of God, if you're trying to, if that's your thing,
you'd like to hear from him.
And well, you wanted to know, well, what is it that somebody said he said, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot like they were playing that party game where, you know, I whisper in your ear, and then you whisper in Scott's, and Scott whispers into to Will's ear, and then Will whispers it back to me, sweet nothing.
Sweet nothing.
And totally
sweet nothing. And then it comes back, it's totally different. It's, you know, they took a direct quote, and they introduced an entirely new concept into it. That's what bothers me.
Think about it. How many times has that taken place?
Wait, I gotta turn my mic on. Okay. How many times has that taken place?
I will.
Well, it has
over
to take place.
Years.
Well, it's two things. One, it could be a translation issue, like you said.
This is more than a translation.
They're writing this into the Bible, you said.
Because I looked at Young's Literal Translation, I looked at King James Version, I looked at the New American Bible, of course, unfortunately, and I looked at the at several other editions of the Bible to see what they said about how the dry land appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in no edition except that I looked at, and I looked at about five or six, a half dozen, let's say,
mm-hmm.
editions. There is no edition except the New American Bible where the waters were forced into basins. What it says in most of the versions is that he created an, I think it was an expanse, is the word,
mm-hmm.
created an expanse that separated the waters from the waters.
Mm.
And therefore, dry land appeared. Okay, that's kind of a rough, outline
well,
of what they said.
Have to have somewhere to live.
So he created this expanse, and this expanse is what separated waters from waters, allowing dry land to appear. Okay, that's pretty much a rough guesstimate of what all the other versions agree, right? Except the New American Bible, they decided no. And this is what God said. God said, I will create an expanse that will separate waters from waters. You know, that kind of thing, okay? I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not writing a Bible, okay? But that's pretty much what he said. But in the New American Bible, God said, I will drain the waters into basins, and therefore dry land will appear, something like that.
Okay.
So you go from, this is a direct quote of what somebody said God said, because the Bible wasn't written.
Well,
at the time,
could be,
you know?
It could be also, I mean, this is one of the things I was thinking of too. People trying to simplify the Bible, creating an expanse. A lot of people aren't going to really understand that. Now, if I create a basin, more people are going to latch onto that and understand it. That's all fine and dandy.
Right.
It's all fine and dandy. I think that. Okay, you have a purpose with that. The other.
Well,
I tried to stay away from this.
I know.
The other reason I can only really I can think they would do something like that is because, like the rest of our textbooks in this country.
Dumbed down
every version.
Revisionist history, revisionist everything.
Until you finally get a version of what somebody thinks it should have been. And like you said a minute ago, Karma, if I want to follow the Word of God,
I want
like
to know
what the Word really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not what some English major who probably never even studied the Bible. That's what most revisionists are. They're English majors. They go through and try to figure
out
what's the easiest to read.
That's for revisionist history, yeah.
What's going to be the easiest for the reader to palate down?
But see, this wasn't an English major who did it. This was, you know, Catholic bishops. These are important people.
Yeah.
I highly respect the
Catholic. It might be different
in
the case of a Bible. I'm talking about, like, you know, books, just regular textbooks.
Oh, yeah, the history books. The
I don't see why it would be improbable for them to do that to the Bible either.
You know,
right.
I think that in that time, as early as it was, God didn't say things. He just did them. So how the Bible is written originally is just exactly what it was. It wasn't like he was like, hey, you guys, I'm going to.
Well, I agree with that. I know what you're talking about, because I don't think God actually
it.
Announced to nobody and nothing that he was going to create this expanse.
He just did it.
He just went ahead and did it. But the thing is, the Catholic bishops took what has been in for 1,400 years, 1,400 years. He took this book. They took this book. They introduced a new concept into a direct quote. Okay, and so people have been following this book for literally, you know, 1,400 years or whatever. And then you've got this this direct quote in this book from God. I mean, from the ultimate, you know, everything. And they changed it. They introduced a new concept. And I really take offense at that.
Solution. Learn Hebrew.
That's
all I can think of.
I'm just waiting for the Snoop Dogg version. In the faux shizzle, the G-O-D said, let there be sunny days.
It's actually the G to the O to the M-F-N-D.
Ah,
is that it? Is that it?
And then we got
that's
green.
That's proper English.
But they have...
green.
Got green.
And then it got green.
It got real green. And the skies were real high.
I know what 95% of our listening audience is.
Is asleep right now.
No, they're African-American.
Oh.
So I'm really appreciating us slaughtering the Ebonics language.
We're not good at that.
We're probably
going
to go straight to hell for this if we're not killed first.
We are from the Detroit area, but the
well, that's
northern,
why we know it so well.
Yeah, the northern suburbs, so we're just mildly familiar with it, yeah. But it's not
fun. It's nice working with you guys.
Yeah.
Some of my good friends are African American, and they appreciate my humor like that.
Well, it is funny.
They would say it themselves.
They tell me I talk funny. And I'm like, because I mean, when you hear a black guy talk like a white guy, it's hysterical. But when you hear a white guy talking like a black guy, it's even more hysterical.
It's like sometimes on the order of ridiculous.
A call coming in,
excellent.
We had a call. Oh. What's up, yo? This is Ghostly Talk.
It's Ed.
Who is this?
Ed Kraft.
Ed Kraft!
Hey, you guys should have put the number up there if you didn't want me to come.
No, that's awesome. What's Hi, how are you doing?
I'm hanging out.
Actually, had our call screener called in today, so...
Yeah, so we're screening calls ourselves right now.
No, you are on the air. So, hey, yeah, we're talking about, believe it or not...
Ebonics in the Bible. What do you think?
Ebonics, the Bible, Catholicism. I can't even believe this is Ghostly Talk.
Oh, man. This is outrageous for you guys.
We're talking about how Mary got jiggy with it. But,
oh, man.
I'm on a roll tonight.
We're like laughing our asses.
This
is like so bad.
What do you think? Have you studied that particular religion? Do you have anything to weigh in on this?
Well, I can weigh in terms of what, you know, the other, but from just the perspective you guys are putting up with all this literal stuff, I mean, if you took it word for word literally out of the Bible, there are a lot of mistranslations.
Mm-hmm.
Between versions themselves, just like you stated earlier.
The King James itself is a completely watered-down version.
That was
before the Americanized.
That was the Bible for the masses,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The literal fact that, you know, thou shalt have no other God before me, for I am a jealous God. Well, if it's an all-supreme being, what does a all-supreme being have to be jealous of?
Yeah, I always liked that.
He sounds
that
a bit possessive
too.
To me.
Yeah.
I mean, and not only that, but on the flip side of that coin, you know, have no other gods before me. If he is God, why should we have none before him? If you take it literally, which is the way most people do, some people need to start rethinking their concept, and that's what the Catholic Church tends to do, but it tends to dictate to its followers rather than...
Trying to, like,
educate their followers.
Yeah, give them the ideas, at least.
Right, they betray the idea instead of handing you the book and say, interpret it.
Well, the one thing I know, I'm not sure about the chronology of that, as far as there shall not have, how do we say it? There
shall
not
have
any gods before me.
Yeah.
I believe that was, he stated that because people were putting gods before him. They were putting things like money before him, which is a big problem, obviously, in this country today, is that people do worship money like it is like this ultimate supreme being deity type thing.
Exactly, but literally translated, that's where that comes the concept mixes and matches between other religions versus...
Yeah. I understand
concept
that.
Of that.
I see what you're saying.
He also admits there that there's other gods besides him.
Exactly. It's a catch-22. He's saying, look, I'm not the only one, but don't put money before us. Don't put money in front of us. Don't put your sex drive in front of us. Don't put anything...
Whoa, hang on.